Good to see everybody here this morning. Hope you've had a good week. It's been a full week. We have got back from the teen trip last week, and it seems like we've been scrambling to keep up ever since that time. Didn't get a chance much to talk about the teen trip last week. Let me just kind of describe what we did. We had 10, we really had 9 of our young people. One of our, I guess the 10th one was kind of in between. We had Trevor come as a sponsor this year, and he did most of the work, but he was also a teen. So we are glad to have him here with us. Had Vicki as one of our sponsors, and she was just, did a great job, was very pleasant. Carolyn, always very pleasant, does a great job. Mike went with us, and we had a good time. I don't mean to be terribly mean to Mike, but I want you to know he is not what he appears to be. We play a game each year called Hill Ball. We invented that one year when I had after I'd had knee surgery, and we were bored to death in Ruidoso, and so we put a baseball game on the side of a hill, cliff, whatever you want to call it, and I invented the game, and so. Mike was getting after me for changing the rules this year, and I said, Mike, the Creator cannot change the rules. He cannot cheat. And he said, well, you're breaking the golden rule. And so that's what I had to deal with on the trip. I don't think I want to take another teen trip without Mike, though. I will say that. He takes care of our kids, and he also cooks us breakfast, but we go up into the mountains. We have a particular part that we look forward to each year. It's a hike up the alluvial fan. And the alluvial fan was created when Lawn Lake that had a dam burst, and when it burst, it just took all sorts of water down and created a river out of what had been a stream, and it just tossed boulders and trees and everything else in its path. A couple years ago, it flooded again, and it just kind of changed the whole contours of it. But there's a path that goes up above that river that's just really gentle, really easy, and will get you there in a hurry. But the kids, many of the kids, like to just go over the boulders down below, and they just follow that alluvial fan up, and it's kind of like a ropes course without ropes. It's challenging, and you end up in the water sometimes, but it's enjoyable, but it's a lot more difficult. As a matter of fact, after going along this alluvial fan probably for a little over an hour, I finally had enough, and I climbed up to the top and walked on the path where I saw Mike and several of the others taking a leisurely walk down this smooth path and realized I had been taking the wrong way all these years. I want to talk to you about paths today because I think that's kind of what we do from a spiritual standpoint. A lot of times God has smoothed out the path for us. He's shown us the way that works. He's the Creator. He knows how this world will work, and He also knows how it won't work, and He cautions us against that, and He warns us about getting off the path. But being who we are and sometimes thinking it's a little more challenging to do so, we'll get off the path, and it seems like we always pay for it. It also seems like we're always surprised when we get off the path and we suffer for it, and we end up with bruises and bumps, and we sometimes are even confused. The path that God has given to us is His law. I repeated a article that I'd put in the bulletin just this last Mother's Day, but I did so because I wanted to really kind of emphasize a point this morning. It's the 119th Psalm in the 165th verse, and I put a bunch of different versions. It says essentially the same thing no matter what version you use. And it says this, "Great peace have those who love your laws. Nothing can make them stumble." One of the hardest things, I think, for me, and see if this isn't hard for you as well, is to watch people that I love really struggling in life. They struggle with things they don't need to struggle with. They go through times that are hard, but it's not necessary. We have necessary things that we have to go through that are hard. We've seen that recently with the heart surgeries that we have had within the congregation, and we've seen people deal with cancer through the years and other various ailments. I know we had one of our gentlemen just in the hospital for about 3 weeks undergoing dialysis, and there are some things in life that are not easy to go through, but you have to go through them. But there are other things that we go through that we don't have to go through. There will be times where you'll see a terrible car accident where the people come out of it just maimed and injured, possibly for life, and sometimes even killed. And it's because somebody was under the influence of either alcohol or drugs or something that they shouldn't have been doing. It was unnecessary, but they go through it. There's a lot of things that God defines as sin within the Scripture, not because He doesn't want us to have a good time, but because He knows these activities can not only harm us, but they can harm other people. And so He sets standards and laws and rules. And He does so because He wants us to have a good life. And so when it says, "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble," is true. You'll have the necessary physical things that you'll struggle with, but from a spiritual standpoint, there's nothing from the outside that can make you stumble. In other words, everyone who is not going to be in heaven someday is not going to be in heaven because of their own doing. They may have had people influence them towards evil, and we see that a lot, but you'll either be in heaven someday because of the grace of God, and because you did the small part that He insists that you do, or because you ignored that, and because you didn't want to take the path. This great peace really comes down to a simplicity that I want to discuss just for a little bit, and maybe use a few outside examples as a result. It's good to see JD here, because I watched JD coach little kids. Matter of fact, the group of boys that went to state these last 2 years were under his tutelage when they were little bitty kids, like third and fourth grade and maybe a little older. And I watched him coach his own kids, and he even took Becca for a little bit and helped her. But he just kind of went through the basics. Wasn't anything fancy. It was just basic. And they did these basics until they were really good at these basics. And it took you from being somebody who was okay at basketball and turned into something that was really something to behold. I can remember when I was asked to teach math one year. The math teacher they had was young and inexperienced, and he wanted to get along with the kids. And you can kind of sympathize with them with that. And yet he spent nearly the entire year from all indications of having a little bit too much fun in class and not enough teaching in class. And so with 6.5 weeks left, they let him go. And for some strange reason, they hired me. And in 6.5 weeks, we had to get them ready for their tests, the juniors for their tests that would allow them to either get out of high school or repeat some courses during the summer so they could pass that test eventually. But the thing that shocked me about the material that we were looking at and trying to catch them up for the year was how really simple it was. It was basic. Brock can tell you this, because Brock was in the class. The material was not difficult at all. And we just went over that material each day, and I would write all the notes up on the board, and I would make them write everything I wrote down on their paper, and that was their homework for the day. I would go and I would check their notes, and since I knew what the pattern looked like, I could go through it real quick, and they either got 100 or a 0, depending on if they did their notes right. But when it came to the test, nearly every one of them made 100 on the test. And almost very, very, very few didn't make an A on the test. the juniors all passed their exit test and were able to get out. But it wasn't because they had such a good teacher. It was because the material was so basic and it didn't change. There is a fact about Scripture that I think we need to keep in mind. While it can be challenging living the life that God has for us, and while it can be somewhat restrictive staying on the path that He has given to us, it doesn't change, and it's simple. When it comes to salvation, the Bible is just really clear. Under the New Testament, we're told that we're saved by the grace of God. We're told that we are saved by the shed blood of Christ. We're told that we're saved by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. That's their part. We do nothing for these things. If it were just the grace of God and the blood of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, then there'd be no hell. There couldn't be any hell because they had done their part perfectly, but God still created a hell. Why? Because He had a part for us to do. And as far as the initial plan of salvation, as far as having your sins removed, God's very clear on that, and it's very simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand these things. Or as one of our past presidents said, a rocket surgeon to understand these things. Or a brain scientist, for that matter. We're told that we need to listen to the Word. And we're told we have to believe it. That's where faith comes in. But it's not a blind faith. It's an educated faith. It's something that you can look at and say, yes, this is right, or no, this is not right. At that point, we are told, we are commanded to repent of our sins. Repentance is not that complicated, but it does require something. It requires us to cease from sinning and turn to God. We're told to confess our belief that Jesus is Lord. We're told to acknowledge that He's the Son of God. And we're commanded to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And then once we have become Christians with this simple pattern, He tells us to be faithful unto death. Now, I want to say again, this is simple to understand. You could take a test on this and you could get every category right after looking at the passages just for a little bit and finding out where they were. And it's not that difficult to understand, but many people will never do these things. Or they'll pick and choose as if it's a recipe that's made to taste. If you and I are making a batch of cookies to taste, then we can kind of put the ingredients in and add a little ingredient or take one away that we don't like, can't we? If I'm making chocolate chip cookies and it calls for so much sugar and so much flour and so much salt and so much chocolate chips, and I'm making them for me, well, I can make that to taste. But if I decide to leave something out of it because I don't understand it, like the butter or the cooking oil or whatever it is you make it with, I'm not going to have that chocolate chip cookie at the end. But that's okay because I'm making it for me. If I decide I'm going to use three times the chocolate chips, which I think would be the proper thing for any recipe, I could do that and it would be okay. If I decided to leave out the chopped pecans, which I would do each time, that would be okay. But if I was making it for somebody else, and it was a matter of life and death, if Max said to me, I'm going to give you $20 if you'll make these cookies this way, but if you don't, I'm just tired of not having cookies made this way, I'm going to shoot you. I'd make them his way. And I'd be really careful about it. We have heaven and hell before us. And yet, isn't it interesting how many people will decide, I'm going to do it my way? Doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. Great peace have they who love your law and nothing can make them stumble is a standard of Scripture. If you and I will love God's law and if we'll explore it and we'll apply it to our life, we're going to do well. Guaranteed. You may still have difficult times. You may still have to go through heart surgery. You may still have somebody who is sinning slam into your car. You may have somebody who's not sinning slam into your car. You'll still have tests in life. God designed this life as a test, not to be cruel, but to see if we wanted to serve Him in His way. And if we'll do that, He has great reward for us. And if we won't, He has great punishment for us. And we get to choose. Started the 119th Psalm again. I want to present this again for your consideration. For those of you who have been doing it, I would love to find out how well it's been working for you. But about 9 weeks ago, we started looking at the 119th Psalm with this suggestion. Just take a verse a day. Start with the first verse in the 119th Psalm and write it down. And then carry it with you through the day. And refer to it. Think about it. Memorize it. It'll take you the entirety of 60 seconds if you have a pen and paper handy to write it down. But listen to what you would have received the first week, what you would have gone through. In the 119th Psalm in verse 1, blessed are they whose ways are blameless. The word blessed is twofold. It means happy, and it means that we'll receive favor from God. It's essentially we're happy because we receive favor from God. That's what blessed is. Blessed are they who keep His statutes, He says in verse 2, and seek Him with all their heart. The end of verse 1 said, who walk according to the law of the Lord. You want to be happy? Just live for God. How do you know what He said? How do you know exactly? Especially when you have this. This person's mom says this. This person's preacher says this. This pastor says this. This philosopher says this. Nobody agrees. How can you know? And the answer is you can open up the Word and put your finger on it in the Bible and you can see. It's not that difficult to understand. I had a lot of people that I was teaching math to, and I confess, I wouldn't pick me as a math teacher. But they could figure it out because it's simple to understand if you go back to the basics. The Word of God is simple to understand if you go back to the basics, but you have to go back to the basics. You can't use what you think. You can't read, blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord, and change that just a little bit. You can't say, blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who kind of walk according to the law of the Lord, or who walk according to the way that they see fit in their own eyes. You can walk the way you see fit in your own eyes. God will let you do that all your life, but you can't be blessed by God for doing so. You might stumble upon some basic truths. You might have a set of standards that are admirable from not only a worldly standpoint, but many of them may be admirable from a godly standpoint. You don't lie. You don't cheat people. You see somebody that needs help and you help them. But we have to understand that God's laws are the whole package, they're the whole recipe, or they're nothing. And the only way that you can know the whole package, the whole recipe, is not to listen to me every Sunday. Not to rely on mom and dad telling you everything you need to know. Not to rely on this clever Bible teacher or this philosopher over here, but to read the Word of God. The Word of God says you're going to be blessed if you walk according to His law. That's never changed. Are you walking according to God's law? Let me ask you this. Are you happy? Sometimes we're happy temporarily. I've seen some young people get really, really happy with just one can of a certain substance. I've seen them have several cans of that certain substance and just seem giddy beyond belief. I've seen them the next day. Their faces are pale. They're sick. They often didn't show up for work, and I had to take care of their work, which made me like it even less. They may have said something or done something that they wish they hadn't said or done that may haunt them for the rest of their lives. Some of you who are in law enforcement have had to clean up situations that you have seen somebody was just going out to have a little bit of fun that affected them for the rest of their life, or maybe cut it short. If you and I will walk according to the law of God, we're going to be blessed. And if we don't, we won't. It's that simple. But would that have helped you? When it says they do nothing wrong, they walk in all His ways, would that help your life? Would it help you not to have guilt hanging over your head because you know you shouldn't have done that or you wished you hadn't done that? They do nothing wrong. They walk in all his ways. Would it help you to know that when you do mess up and you are a Christian, you can just go to God and ask him for forgiveness and he'll forgive you if you really repent, if you turn away from it? Would that help to not have the guilt? You know, I've done a lot of stupid things in my life. Some of y'all have seen me do a lot of stupid things. I'll be back up on the roof doing stupid things. That's just a physically stupid thing, but I've done some sinful stupid things as well that have had consequences. But one of the things I love about God is that he will forgive me if I repent of it and ask his forgiveness, if I do it his way. Not in the way that I want to do it, necessarily, but in the way that he wants me to do it. You parents understand that. You know that when you're training a child to make up his bed, that he's got an idea of how to make up his bed, and you've got an idea of how to make up his bed, and you know your way works better, even though he doesn't know that yet. That's simple. But isn't it interesting that when God says, this is my plan of salvation, some people look at that and say, no, I don't like that. I think I've got a better idea. Or when God says, don't forsake the assembling together, and we say, well, you know, fair enough. In an ideal world, I'd like that, but I've got other things to do. Or when God says, don't lie, and we think, well, a little white lie would sure get me out of a lot of trouble here. Or when he says, don't let your eyes see things you shouldn't see, and yet you think you can see those things and it not affects you. We're always arguing with God. We're always negotiating with God. We're always changing his laws just a little bit. It has consequences. But for those who walk in all his ways, you're okay. And you don't have to worry about what happens to you if you die, because it's only better. I'll finish with this passage. Verse 4 of the 119th Psalm. You've laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. And then the writer says, oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees, then I would not be put to shame when I consider your commands. And then he says this, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. Would that help you in your week? If you haven't been doing this, let me encourage you to try it, just for a week. Just take one of these verses, write it down, carry it with you and think about it, and see if it doesn't change the way you look at God's law. And see if it doesn't help your day out a little bit better. Invitations open this morning. Maybe that there's someone here that's ready to become a Christian. We would love to help you with that. Maybe that you need the prayers of the congregation. We'd be honored to pray for you. But if we can help in any way, won't you come forward while we stand and sing?